You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute link podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Thursday, September 3rd, and let me make two apologies to you. One is for the audio quality. I'm on the Bluetooth headset that I use for work, and it always seems like I'm talking in a cave or something like that, but the microphone that I keep in Studio D broke. The wire just came out, so this is all I have. And it's illegal in Georgia to hold your phone, so I can't do it like I used to do in the old days before I had a headset, just hold the phone and talk while I went down the road. That's apology number one. Apology number two is for no show yesterday. So you guys knew that I wasn't going to do a show on Tuesday because I've been working from home. But the problem is, I worked from home on Tuesday because I had a doctor's appointment, or at least I thought I did. It turned out my doctor's appointment was on Wednesday, which I figured out halfway through Tuesday. So I worked from home on Tuesday and Wednesday because of that doctor's appointment. And I also worked from home Monday just because I could. So here I am, back in the swing of things on the Christian commute, actually commuting. So Lord willing, we'll have a Thursday and a Friday show. Hopefully I'll remember to get the good headset out of the other car. I have a full show for you today. Ooh, I gotta pull out fast. Hold on. There was a big tractor trailer coming down the road, and I can either pull right out and get ahead or wait forever and get stuck behind him. So I chose to pull out. I have a full show for you today. Today's show title is Heresy Buyback Program. Heresy Buyback Program. And those of you who are friends with me on Facebook already have an inkling of what this show is going to be about. I have a question in the inbox about animals in the book of Job. Animals in the book of Job. That's from Daryl. I have a couple more in there. Let's see. One is about when a man and his wife disagree on scripture. And then there's another one in there, and I forgot what it's about. So I have enough questions, thanks to my doctor's appointment, to get me through the week. But don't forget to keep sending them in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. As always, we have the Bible chapter review, and today we continue in the little book of Jude. We're in Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter, verses 12 through 13. Jude, verses 12 through 13. We've been talking about the men, the bad men who have crept into the church unnoticed. And Jude continues his condemnation of these men, and he advocates against their tolerance, that is, the tolerance of them. Verse 12. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars for whom the darkness has been reserved forever. So Jude paints a lot of negative pictures about these men. In the beginning, he compared them to figures from the Bible, like people from Korah's rebellion, or the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah. But now he is making similes. Is it metaphor or simile? It's been a long time since I took 10th grade English. But I think we call these things similes. They are hidden reefs in your love feasts. Hidden reefs. An alternative translation according to the New American Standard would be stain. And we get over on Tractor Trailer. Hidden reefs in your love feast. So think if you're sailing along in the ocean on a boat, and you think you're okay, but you don't see a reef because it's hidden under the water. What's that reef going to do? Well, when the hull of your boat hits it, it's going to tear the hull of your boat open, and you're going to take in water, and you're going to start sinking. You thought everything was fine. All you saw was smooth water. You thought the water was deep enough to sail in, but no, there was a hidden reef there. In other words, these men are dangers, but they're dangers you don't see. And those are the most dangerous kind. And if you're walking around in the woods and you look 100 yards off and see a big bear, you can turn around and walk the other way. But if you're walking around in the woods and there's bears in the bushes and you don't see them and you happen upon them, well, they were more dangerous. It's always the thing that you can't see that is more dangerous than the thing you can see. I mean, gosh, think of coronavirus. You can't see it. People who have it are asymptomatic. Of course, I think, and I haven't done the stats on this, you have a higher chance of being mauled by a bear or sinking on a boat than dying of coronavirus, but I don't know. Back to the point, hidden reefs, dangers you didn't see. So imagine you're in a love feast at your church. We call these potlucks nowadays. So you're having a meal at church, you're there with all your brother, you think everything is fine, there's a celebration, but there's a hidden reef there. There are these wicked men who infiltrated your church body. And they feast without fear. They feast without fear. They shouldn't be eating with the Lord's church. The Lord's church should put them out. They have no fear of God. All they care about is themselves. They live by their own daydreams, as we talked about earlier. They care only for themselves. Hold on, I've got to get over. Thick traffic this Thursday. They care only for themselves, feasting without fear. They have no fear of the Lord. They have no fear of how their negative presence affects the body of Christ. They care for themselves. They're clouds without water, carried along by winds. What use for an agrarian society is a cloud without water? When you... Hold on, now I've got to pass somebody else. Rain's as important now as it was then. But remember, their society was agrarian and our society is industrial. Even our farming has become industrialized. So a lot of times for us, rain is an inconvenience. But back then, people would think, oh great, it's raining. Our food's going to grow. So what do you want to see in the sky? You want to see clouds. The clouds without water are no good. They're just there. They're supposed to be good. They're supposed to be beneficial, but they're not. They're clouds without water, carried along by winds. Think of what James, is it the book of James when he says, don't be blown about by every wind of doctrine? Here we have James's brother Jude, and I get the same feeling, that these men are blown around by whatever they're thinking instead of being anchored in Scripture. They are autumn trees without fruit. It is almost autumn here. It's August. And here in North Georgia, this is apple country. So everybody is excited to go to Ella J and Blue Ridge and get the apples direct from the orchard. We have really good Pink Ladies and Honey Crisps and Wine Saps and Granny Smiths. Every kind of apple you can desire, and they just taste better when you go up to Ella J and Jasper here in apple country. Autumn trees bearing fruit. So think of harvest time. You've put in all the work during the hot summer to grow the crops, and here you are to harvest them and finally take the fruit, get the fruit of your labors off of the trees in autumn. And guess what? You've cared for this tree. It's autumn. It's time for it to give fruit. It's time for the harvest to come, and there's no fruit. Like a cloud without water. It looks like it's good, but it's not. It's born nothing. And Jude calls them doubly dead, uprooted. Trees that are dead and don't have roots, don't grow, and cannot provide fruit. Wild waves of the sea. So thinking about when we you think about it scientifically, waves are very orderly, and we can track the times of the tide. But when you just look at the sea, and you go out, say you go out to the shore, you get pulled around by the undertow, you get beaten up by the waves, that's raw natural power right there. Think about how Jude talked about these men who go about their business in the world by their base animal instincts. And Jude paints the pictures of waves washing foam up on the shore. And that is their shame. So these men, if you can imagine the Lord's church on the shore, on the peaceful sand, having, you know, fun in the sun, and the foam of the waves comes up. So think about going on the beach and you see the waves come up and they leave the foam. Imagine if that was shame and wickedness. That's what these men are like. They just fling their wickedness up on the shore. And finally, Jude compares them to wandering stars. So think if you're a sailor. Now you use GPS. Back in that day, people navigated by the stars because the stars were in a fixed position. So a star that was in its fixed position was something you could depend on. If a star wasn't in a fixed position, you couldn't get anywhere by it. It was useless to you. It could even be deceptive. Now, when he says wandering stars, we know that stars don't move around. At least I don't think they do. But I think Jude's talking about angels like the host of heaven, which are often compared to stars, and demons and the devils. Like, they didn't stay in their spot. God designed them and appointed them for a reason. Yet we have Satan and his demons who rebelled, and they're out of their place. They're out of their place and can't be depended on. And you think wandering stars, when you look up in the night sky, stars are in the darkness. And Jude says, the black darkness has been reserved for them forever. That is outer darkness, eternal darkness, hellfire, separation from God. These men are like these fallen angels, and that they are out of their place, and they're living by their own standard instead of God's standard. And you have to watch out for them. Just on and on about the wickedness of these men. And now I'm moving away from telling you what the Bible verse says. Now culture, especially evangelical culture, the biggest sin is saying that somebody's bad and that they're a heretic and they should be avoided. Sha Lin said it like this: nowadays the only heresy is saying that there's heresy. But that's not what we see in the, it's what we see in the Bible. We see harsh condemnations for the wicked, harsh condemnations of the wicked, and a call to separation from the wicked. And with that, I'll end the Bible chapter review. And just interesting tidbit. Speaking of autumn trees, my wife wants to go apple picking this weekend. This is when you go up there, and instead of going in the nice air-conditioned store and buying a $10 bucket of apples, which is more apples than you can eat in a week, they all rot at your house. Now you go out and pick an even bigger bucket of apples and pay them $6 a person for the privilege of doing it, to take the apples home that are going to rot, and then you go out there in the hot field with all the yellow jackets, because yellow jackets are all around the apple trees, and pay someone to do curse work. Remember in the garden, the fruit just grew, and Adam and Eve picked it and ate it, and then God cursed them, and then they worked by the sweat of their brow. Yeah, having to actually go and labor to get food out of the ground is curse work. And my wife wants to go pay somebody $6 a head to do it. So that's my weekend this Labor Day, and I'm going to think of Jude when I'm picking juicy apples off those wonderful trees and appreciate having autumn trees that bear fruit. All right, let's go to the inbox. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl's question, and by the way, he did not write in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. He called the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line, 470-315-0875. 470-315-0875. If you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics, send it in. And if you want to come from out of state in Georgia between the hours of 5 and 7, stay out of my lane if you're driving slow. All right, here's this question from Daryl. He says, is it fair to say that Behemoth and Leviathan, as mentioned in the book of Job, were dinosaurs, whereas Behemoth would be a large land dinosaur, and Leviathan, which we would think of as a sea monster, would be a large sea dinosaur, like one of these big brontosauruses with fins or something. That is my words, not his. And then he says, or is it more like liberal translations where you'd think Behemoth is a hippo and Leviathan is a crocodile? That's his question. Number one, before I answer the question, I don't know if we can fairly say that there's such a thing as a liberal translation. And I may have been guilty of this myself by saying, oh, that's a liberal translation. Like the Revised Standard Version is a liberal translation, and that's the Bible they would tend to use in a liberal denomination like the United Methodists. And the people on the translating committee, they know Greek and they know Hebrew, but they don't really believe the biblical account. So they're going to let their theological liberalism color their translation. A good example is if you look at the part of the Old Testament law where if two men get in a fight and it causes a woman to miscarry, what the punishment is. You can even look at the New American Standard, how it's translated over time when evangelicalism became more pro-life. That the wording is in the latter translations tends to be more pro-life. And somebody has to wonder, did people get more conservative or liberal? But translation itself, Daryl, can be conservative or liberal. Like if you just go to Genesis 1, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God. A liberal would translate that the same way as a conservative. Now, if you're some wingnut, you might translate it like in the beginning the gods. But even liberals understand what we call the plural of majesty, Elohim. So, I'll ask you this, Daryl. Would a liberal person and a conservative person, pretend you have two teachers in school, and one's liberal and one's conservative, and they both teach Spanish. They should translate the Spanish into English the same way, even though one's liberal and one's conservative. So when we talk about liberal translations, we can talk about translations that come from liberal people or that are used in theologically liberal churches. But we want to be careful not to just say the translation is the liberal. Is it liberal to translate Behemoth hippo? I don't know. To answer your question, Daryl, is it fair to say that they're dinosaurs? I don't know. It's fair to say that it's Behemoth and Leviathan. And you don't have to know. Let's pretend it was a brontosaurus. And that's what it means. It means a brontosaurus, a huge dinosaur. And then let's pretend it really means hippo. That it was actually a hippo, which is a big dangerous animal in and of itself. And hippos kill more people than any other animal in Africa. A hippo, to me, seems more like a sea monster than a crocodile. Anyway, I digress. Whether it was brontosaurus or whether it was hippo, does the theological meaning change? Does the point of the text change when it's talking about how we as men, we couldn't move that thing if we tried? It's a big, uncontrollable animal. I mean, I can barely control the Labrador that lives in my backyard. And God created these giant animals. Whether it's a brontosaurus or a hippo, think about how much more powerful either one of those animals is than a man. So when we read that, and we see it come to Behemoth, and we see it come to Leviathan, we understand the point that the passage is making. And we don't have to know whether it was a dinosaur or a hippo or a sea monster or a crocodile. We don't have to, because we know the Leviathan is the big sea monster and that the Behemoth is the big land animal. It's this big, powerful animal, and God's created it, and it's well beyond anything we can do. God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And you know, I put out the measuring stick and decided, you know, the length and width of the world. Where were you? And I'm paraphrasing. So that's the idea we're supposed to take. It's not up to us as modern day Christians to try and figure out, well, was it brontosaurus or a hippo? I don't know. A good translator, what he does is he goes back and he looks at that word, and he'll go to maybe to other ancient Near Eastern languages that have a similar word and try to figure out, like, when ancient Hebrews used this word, what were they talking about? And if they were talking about hippos or crocodiles, then that's what we should take it to mean. But it's not liberal if it was a crocodile, and it's not liberal if it was a big dinosaur that lived in the ocean, if it was a megalodon or something like that. I mean, I just don't know. But I really don't think it's a matter of liberalism or conservatism, because where you, Daryl, whether or not you have the quote-unquote conservative translation, or whether or not you have the quote-unquote liberal translation, is still, the theological point doesn't change. And let me ask you this. If you were going to translate the Bible today as a conservative, because I'm going to make a new Bible translation as if we don't have enough as it is, like the Christian Standard Bible, are you going to be conservative and translate? I'm conservative, so I'm going to translate a dinosaur. No, just Behemoth and Leviathan. That's a good translation, and I'd leave it at that. And I don't know the answer to whether it was a dinosaur or a hippo. It was a big old animal, and I wouldn't want to mess with it. And with that, I will end the inbox section of today's show. Let's get to Heresy Buyback Program. And I want to encourage you all listeners to start a heresy buyback program of your own. A heresy buyback program of your own. So have you ever seen these buyback programs the government does? So let's say they want to get drugs off the street. They'll say, no questions asked. You can come and turn in all your drugs, and the police will dispose of them, and no one will arrest you. Or they'll say, no questions asked. You can come and bring your gun to the police station. We'll give you $50 for your gun. And the police just want guns off the street. Safer street if they get up. Who knows how many unregistered and illegal weapons there are out there. I tell you what, the government's not getting my gun from me. Tell you what, but listen, they're not trying to buy back my guns because I'm not a street thug from the places. They don't do these things. They don't do the buyback in Orange County, Beverly Hills, or my swimming tennis community, if you get what I'm saying. But that's what they want to do. They want to get the danger off the streets. A criminal can't shoot somebody if he doesn't have his gun. So they think of these buyback programs, hey, we'll get $50, we'll get these guns off the streets, we'll have less shootings. And maybe we start investigating the serial numbers of these guns that get turned in. Maybe we get some murder weapons or something like that. So that's how these buyback programs work. And I want to suggest to you a heresy buyback program. A heresy buyback program. So I found my copy the other day from wherever my wife and kids had put it of another Jesus column. And I think the guy who wrote it, Warren B. Smith, I think is the man who wrote it, the former New Ager. And he goes through Sarah Young's Jesus calling, and he explains how she's doing the same thing that New Age pagans do, chapter by chapter. So it's a pretty good book. And Warren sent that book to me because he sent that book to me for free because he'd seen my writings on the internet. So I was very happy to get it. But what I did is I put a little picture on Facebook. Because you know I have my own copies of Jesus Calling. Because I confiscate them wherever I go. Is that Jesus Calling? Give it to me. It's heresy. Two for two for asking for Jesus Calling and getting it from the lady who had it. Now, here's what I put on Facebook. I said, here's a picture of another Jesus column by Warren B. Smith. Here's a picture of Jesus column. I said, if you are a woman who is used, and I mean, I guess a man too, but I know one man who quotes Jesus column. He's one of these guys, is like, his name is Matt, and I used to work with him, and we're like, Matt, you say things a gay man would say, and we understand that you're not gay, but you really act gay, and he's married, and one of the gay things that he does, in or effeminate things, I should say, like a man acting like a woman, is he reads Jesus Calling. It's a woman's book. Why do they print it in pink? Anyway, mostly it's women. And what I posted on Facebook was this. If you're a woman and you use the Jesus Calling devotional product, DM me and I'll send you a copy of another Jesus Calling. You give me your heresy and I'll give you something good. And I've also done this with my Beth Moore book. I said, if you bring me a copy of Jesus Calling, I'll give you a copy of my new Beth Moore book. And that's something you could do. Like if you had, I buy them wholesale, right? And if you, by the way, if you want a big box of my Beth Moore book, just email me and I'll figure out a way to get them to you at the wholesale price that I pay from Amazon, which is like $250 plus shipping or something like that. And I think they're $299 on the internet. I'm basically selling the things it costs, so you may just be able to order 50 of them. But if you want to do something like that, is if you have a Beth Moore book, you give me your Beth Moore book, and I'll give you So Long, Beth Moore. If you have Jesus Calling or Jesus Always, you give me Jesus Calling, I'll give you another Jesus Calling. If you have, I don't know, Crash the Chatterbox by Stephen Furtick, I'll give you some book by John MacArthur. I'll give you Strange Fire or something like that. And I've never read Crash the Chatterbox. I just know Stephen Furtick's a rank heretic. He's on my mind today because of someone I talked to mentioned him to me. So we know what these popular books out there are. Purpose Driven Life. You give me a copy of the Purpose Driven Life and I'll give you a copy of, I don't know, Pilgrim's Progress or Systematic Theology 4 by Millard Erickson. And what you're doing is getting the heresy out of people's houses and also giving them the resource they need to correct whatever that heresy has done to their mind. If somebody's sick, like if somebody is on heroin, you say, give me your heroin, I'll flush it down the toilet, and I'll give you some methadone. And that'll help get you off of heroin. That's basically what you're doing. And what you'll find, I think, is that a lot of people who have these books, they were given them as gifts, or either they bought them through a church-sponsored Bible study. So if you just get on your social media and say, hey, I want to make this offer to anybody here in town. Because local people you know, you can actually sit down, have coffee with them, and hand deliver them this book. Because if you're like me, you have Facebook friends you don't even really know from all over creation. You know, I don't want to be sending $20 worth of books to every 50 states. You know, I'm not made of money. But I've made that offer here in my own hometown. You give me one of these books, I'll give you one of these. So if you know of someone like a Stephen Furtick or Beth Moore or Sarah Young who's been a particularly negative influence in your community, may I encourage you to do a heresy buyback program and start sparking conversations. And these are gifts. Who wants to turn down a gift? Especially if it's a book they've already read. Hey, you give me this old book you've already read and I'll give you a new book. A lot of people might take you up on that offer. Listen, it's not enough to sit around and listen to the Christian Commute or listen to the Justin Peters podcast or Chris Roseborough or whoever else, whoever, read Ken Silva's blog, the people who go line by line in these books by these false teachers and these popular evangelical industry megastars, just writing tripe and selling it. It's not enough to say, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Because there's something good you have to give. It's not enough to say, this is false teaching. You have to say, this is false teaching. And here's how I know it's false teaching, because here's true teaching. I've heard this example used from multiple pulpits. The best way to expose the counterfeit is to present the real. So somebody comes to you with counterfeit money, like, this is a real $100 bill. Look at the markings. Look at the ink imprints on it. You've got a counterfeit one. Or, oh, that's a nice Dooney and Burke purse you have there. Here's a real one with the real leather. And this is the authentic duck. And see, I can't rip the logo off. Yours is glued on. You got it at the flea market. Yours is counterfeit. You ladies didn't know I knew about purses, did you? Here I was giving my boy Matt a hard time for being a feminine. I know purse brands. Got a mom, don't I? You know what? My wife is not a big purse carrier, and I'm grateful for that because I bet she hadn't spent $100 on purses in 10 years of marriage. And my mom, on the other hand, a lot more purses. Maybe it's a generational thing. I don't know. But people are going to get tired of you if you just go around and say, everything's counterfeit. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. What's good? And I have to admit, sometimes this is where we fall short at Pulpit and Pen, is we'll produce a 2-paragraph article that took 5 minutes to write. This bad person did something bad. But we don't explain why they're a bad person or why they did it bad. Guys, we have to take the time to teach. That's what discipling is. Discipling is not putting up a sign that says, no swimming in the pool, unsupervised if you're under 13. Discipling is saying, if you can't swim, this you'll drown and you'll die. Here, let me teach you how to swim. That's teaching people, giving them the resources, bringing them along. Otherwise, people are just going to think, you know, you're just a negative Nelly. Is it negative Nelly or negative Nancy? I don't know. But people, listen, especially these people who love the products of the evangelical industrial complex, do you know why they buy them up? Do you know why they love it so much? Because it makes them feel good. Because it's encouraging. That's why people love Joel Osteen. You can, and you will. It's time to be a better you. God didn't make you to be downtrodden. No. Say, you know that you're a child of God and that your dreams are going to come true. Things are changing for you. Believe it. All is not lost. You know, it's just it's power of positivity, or what they call the power of positive thinking. Who's that? Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking. Right? It's the power of selling people stuff. Who in the world would buy the book of Jude in the store? Imagine, if you will, you're in a first century bookstore, and there's a book by the Gnostics, and it's telling you that God came so you could leave your body and you wouldn't be set by physical illnesses, and there's no need for you to deprive yourself of delicious food and women anymore. You can have sex with all the women you want. You can eat whatever you want. Don't worry about taking care of your body. Your body is cursed to wear out. God sent Jesus so that you could transcend the material world. All right? And then on the next shelf is Jude. And I'm just a Jew. And you got a bunch of fruitless reef crashers at your church. You need to get rid of them. Which one are you going to buy? Huh? Which one are you going to buy? Which one are the goats going to buy? They're going to buy the Gnostic. And guys, that's sort of where we are now. When books that tell you, this is how God wants to be worshipped, this is what the Bible really means, they're in the back of the Christian bookstore, if they're there at all. And the ones in front are Your Best Life Now. Heresy sells. Offer them an alternative in a positive way. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.